Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 19th day of January 2024. I'm absolutely thrilled to have back on the program a dear friend who is a returning guest. His name is Claude Ramsey, and he is pastor of Reformata Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee, and host of the Here I Stand Theology podcast. Today, we're going to be addressing the theme, an overview of the Book of Ezra. And we're also going to be announcing the 2024 Open Air Theology Conference in Tullahoma, Tennessee, on the theme, Why Calvinism? And my guest today, Pastor Claude Ramsey, is one of the esteemed ministers on the roster at that conference. So you'll be hearing more about that momentarily. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Claude Ramsey.
Hello, Chris. Thank you so much for having us back.
And if you could, let our listeners know more about Reformata Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee.
All right. Reformata Baptist Church is a Reformed Baptist church. The Reformata in Reformata Baptist Church is the word, the Latin word for Reformed, really, which comes from the larger phrase, Ecclesia Reformata, Semper Reformanda, Secundum Verbum Dei, which is the church reformed and always being reformed. The church is, we are in our 15th year as a congregation, as a body. We planted 15 years ago. The congregation, we have three elders, myself and the pastor with two other elders, and three deacons. The Lord has just truly blessed the church particularly over the last couple of years with a lot of good families, a lot of strong, mature Christian families at that. So it's been a great blessing thus far, and we look forward to see what the Lord's going to be doing in the future.
Amen. And if anybody wants more details on Reformata Baptist Church, go to Facebook and type in Reformata, which is R-E-F-O-R-M-A-T-A. Baptist Church, and that will likely be the only thing that comes up. Have you ever heard of another congregation with that name in the United States?
Well, no, not with just the name Reformata Baptist Church. There are a few other Reformatas, but they are they kind of go a little different route. So okay. We are unique in that.
And tell us about this conference coming up, and it has quite an impressive lineup of speakers, including my longtime dear friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who is not only a speaker on the roster at the Open Air Theology Conference, but he is also going to be debating a brother named Jason Breda, and I can't remember if I'm pronouncing that correctly, if it's Breda or Breda, but they are having a debate on definite atonement, or otherwise called particular redemption and limited atonement. And the theme is actually the Reformed doctrine of atonement is biblical and important. That debate will be held February 24th in Tullahoma, Tennessee. But the conference, what are the exact dates of the conference? Because it begins before the debate, I believe.
Yeah. So the conference dates are the 21st through the 24th. On the 21st, actually, let me look at my calendar here while I'm explaining this. So the 21st, actually, there will be like a pre-conference. It's going to be with Jeremiah Nortier and Sam Frost, and they're going to be talking about the dangers of full preterism, which, you know, Jeremiah and Sam Frost both are highly intellectual guys. They know the scriptures. They know what they're talking about. It will be a fantastic pre-conference, so I would encourage folks to come out for that as well. But as to the actual conference itself, I'll tell you what, Chris, I'm being completely upfront here, straight up. I mean, I feel like a kid going to an NFL game to get to see, you know, the big time preachers preach, because I mean it's they've got Andrew Rappaport. He'll be preaching the first sermon. And then they've got Matt Slick added to the roster now as well.
That's news to me. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, of course, like you mentioned, James White, Dr. Sam Waldron.
Yes.
He's preaching, not to mention Jeff Braden Haps, Brandon Scalf. Is another one of the preachers, Dr. Michael Schultz. You had him on, I think, or maybe you had him on here just here a while back. In any case, I mean, it is fantastic. If last year is any indicator of what this year is going to be, you're not going to want to miss it, because the preaching was just phenomenal. I mean, it was pure scripture preaching. It was beautiful. And then the fellowship, I mean, was just fantastic. Folks made new friends and hung out, and it was just a great environment.
And God willing, I will be there. I'm not 100% sure I'll be there. In fact, nobody is 100% sure, because you never know what plans God has that we don't. But I am hoping to be there, and I'm waiting on a very dear friend of mine, who's actually a sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Brian McLaughlin of the Securecom Group.
Awesome.
He is hoping to drive from Long Island, New York, pass through Pennsylvania, pick me up, and head to Tennessee together. And I will give my audience updates on whether or not that is happening. I've interviewed most of the speakers that are on the lineup, and anybody who is on the roster, who is listening, who I have not yet interviewed, please contact me at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, so I can make sure I interview everybody who is on this speaking roster. And by the way, you can also look up in the ironsharpensironradio.com archive, Claude mentioned Sam Frost not long ago. I arranged a debate between Sam Frost and one of his former colleagues in ministry, Don Preston, one of the leading names in the hyper-preterist movement. And as you know, Sam was at one time a hyper-preterist before he repented of that very,
yes, sir,
very dangerous theology and ideology and eschatology. So it was interesting to have Sam debating Don, who was very closely associated with Sam in ministry at one time.
Yeah.
So you could look that up. You could just type in the search engine Sam Frost, or you could type in hyper preterism, and you will find, I think it was a 2-day debate between the two of them.
But, oh my goodness, 2 days?
Well, on my show, it wasn't like a, it wasn't like in a public venue. It was on my radio show. As you know, 2 hours goes by real fast on a radio show with commercials.
Absolutely.
I'm going to give our listeners our email address so that they can join us with questions of their own. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com, ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we will broaden the theme of today's show to accommodate listeners who have pastoral questions, because we do have a guest who is a pastor. And so, therefore, you might have a personal and private question you want to ask him. But other than that, if you're just asking a general question on the Book of Ezra, give us your first name, at least city and state, and country of residence. Before we even delve into the specific Book of Ezra, if you could respond to the growing notion that Christians don't really need the Old Testament that much at all. In fact, Andy Stanley, the son of the late Charles Stanley, is infamous for declaring publicly that the church needs to unhitch itself from the Old Testament. And many biblically solid people responded in protest and in rebuke and chastisement of Andy Stanley for making such a comment. If you could tell us why that is a wrong direction, and why even the New Covenant Church needs the Old Covenant Scriptures.
Absolutely. That's a fantastic question, and so important. And it's amazing how, how this issue has been, I want to say, even in some degrees, not in reform circles, but in the larger evangelical church circle, kind of been, I think, been brushed under the rug, swept under the rug. So the Old Testament is just as important as the New Testament. And the answer to that, to the why of that, is because it's the Word of God. We've been teaching on Thursday nights, we're teaching a group called Passing the Torch. It's discipling young men who feel like they've been called to the ministry. And one of the things that we've been communicating here recently is this statement here. And it's basically that Christ is in the Old Testament concealed, and in the New Testament, he is revealed. The New Testament is types and shadows where we have where God has given his church. He uses what the Old Testament is written in is a lot. There's a lot of anthropomorphic terms, which basically just means human language is used to describe divine things. So we have the divine described in human fashion in the Old Testament, which points us as a shadow and type to our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the New Testament, we have the commentary on the Old Testament. So folks will steer away from the Old Testament because they'll say it's vague, it's hard to comprehend, it's hard to make sense of. But when we take what God has given us in the New Testament is that commentary to tell us what the Old Testament is about. And obviously, they both point to Jesus Christ.
Amen. And obviously, there is also the opposite danger of Judaizing. There are professing Christians and messianic movements who import too much of the Old Covenant into the New, and even
Amen.
And even bind upon their followers an adherence to ceremonial laws and things that were clearly fulfilled and brought to an end during the coming of Christ and his earthly ministry, especially after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. And so
Amen.
Comment on that briefly as well.
Well, when you go to the New Testament, again, as as our commentary on that issue, that was the one of the primary focuses right. of many of the letters to the churches. It was that many were kept trying to return to the law, kept trying to return to Judaism. They kept trying to return to a works-based faith and a works-based salvation. And what did the Apostle Paul continually say? These things will do no good. They are done away with. The old covenant has passed away. And in the magnum opus of the book of Hebrews, right? So in the book of Hebrews, that's what it says in succinct terms. It says, look, in Christ, we have a better salvation. There's a better covenant in the new covenant. It's a better way, right? It's complete. It's whole in Christ. Whereas under the law, you never reach the goal because you can't ever attain the goal.
Amen. Well, I know that you have been preaching a series on the book of Ezra, and if you could tell us something about this historic figure, this scribe and scholar in the Old Covenant, actually a direct descendant of Aaron, the chief priest, if you could tell us something more about him.
Yeah, absolutely. So concerning Ezra himself, he was, like you said, a priest. He was a scribe, as Ezra chapter 7, verse 11 tells us. It basically just says that. Ezra the priest, the scribe, a man learned in the matters of the commandments of the Lord and his statutes for Israel. Now, what is unique about this book and this historical, it's one of the historical books of the Old Testament, although it's full of prophecy and Christology, eschatology, you've got it all, particularly when you bring in the Haggai and Zechariah's sermons. So you've got it all. But what's unique about the book of Ezra, I think that most folks don't understand, that the book itself spans, anywhere from, it could be 90 to 120 years. Of course, there's not an exact date on it. But that book, this short book, the short book of Ezra, Ezra doesn't even show up until the sixth or seventh chapter. I think it is right now. I'm not looking directly at the text, but it's virtually been about 70 to 80 years since the children of Israel returned to Jerusalem that Ezra shows up. But God has provided for them direction, encouragement, strength, through his spirit and through his word that came through Haggai and Zechariah. So it's really a fantastic book full of good information and good spiritual knowledge for the church.
Amen. Well, go through step by step the primary reasons that you wanted to discuss this, the primary reasons why this is an important book, even for the New Testament people of God, and the primary ways that we can benefit from understanding this book.
Absolutely. I will do my best here, sir. So number one, I would say the chief purpose and reason for us as a body at Reformata to go through the book of Ezra verse by verse expositionally, because number one, it leads us to worship the Lord. It leads us to worship God because of his faithfulness and because of his sovereignty. And number two, if there was a secondary primary reason, if you would have it that way, it would be for this, because what we're doing in looking at the book of Ezra itself is gaining a contextual knowledge of what was taking place when the children of Israel came back. Not only just the conditions, right, that they were coming back to, but who were the kings, what went down, basically the challenges and the obstacles that they faced. And then it would be that the third focus would be to understand the significance and the importance of the preached word of God. Because what so often... many, preaching is relegated to something that not necessarily everybody's looking for when they go to a church. A lot of folks will look for children's programs. They'll look for good singing, or they'll look for this, or they'll look for that. But preaching should be at the center, and preaching should be the focus of the worship time when the church gathers on the Lord's Day on Sundays.
Amen. And that is a primary reason why many, not all, but many of the Reformers, Puritans, and their descendants, even architecturally, moved the Lord's table where Rome had it at as the place of prominence because of their idolatrous practice of the Mass at being the primary thing. Those following the principles of the Reformation and the Puritan era, which we believe to be biblical, of course, the prominence is in the center where the pulpit is, the proclamation of the God-breathed inerrant word from that pulpit, and therefore you typically in a Reformed church, the Lord's table will be on the same level with the people below the pulpit, but the pulpit has been moved to the center. Now, I'm not saying that architectural positions and things like that have any kind of vital and required obedience, because it's not specifically a biblical thing to even, I'm not even sure that the word pulpit is in the Bible. Maybe you can correct me. But it does show you that there was a move of God's people to recognize that the proclamation of the word should be the focal point. Am I overstepping here?
No. I think that's exactly right. And as far as the pulpit phraseology goes, actually, in Nehemiah, let me look that up real quick here.
While you're doing that, I'm gonna give our listeners our email address while you're looking that up.
Yeah.
ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Go ahead.
Yeah, so in Nehemiah, which is basically, you know, it's the companion book. So in Ezra, the temple is rebuilt. In Nehemiah, the broken down walls are rebuilt and worship is restored. But in Nehemiah chapter 8, I'll read from 5 so we get a little context. But so the scripture says, when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate, from morning until midday, before the men and the women who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood, which they had made for the purpose. So we see there that he stood above all the people. All the people stood when he opened it, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. So, yeah, some translations actually use the term pulpit there. Huh. Which is pretty awesome, really. It's a good principle. It's a good pattern, because basically it was just a way of setting, you know, setting the priest or the minister above the people, not in a sense that he's better, but in the sense that it's an elevation of the word of God.
Right. And I love the nickname that has been given to the pulpit, the sacred desk.
Amen. So I would say this, you know, preaching matters. Preaching's been the means by which God has proclaimed his word throughout history. I mean, we have it set forth in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We see that the preaching, and not just preaching anything. William Perkins said that that the scriptures are to be the exclusive subject of preaching. So when we think of preaching, we ought not ever to think of anything else. As Christians, I think our mind ought to go to the proclamation of the Word of God. I mean, we have the proclamation beginning in Genesis, right? When Adam and Eve sinned and fell. In Genesis 3:15, the Lord told them, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. That's referred to as the proto-evangelion, right? So that was a looking forward to Christ. And if in the New Testament, a New Testament counterpart and a significant verse that teaches us the importance of preaching, 2 Peter chapter 4 or chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, I believe it is. Let me make sure I'm quoting this correctly. For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. And if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, and the scripture refers to Noah as a herald of righteousness with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. That word herald means preacher, a proclaimer of the news, the word of God. So it's always been the means through which God's called sinners to repentance and salvation.
Amen. And we're going to our first commercial break. If anybody wants to join us on the air with a question of your own, submit it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We'll be right back with Claude Ramsey and his overview of the Book of Ezra right after these messages from our sponsors. Do not go away.
I'm Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired Word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of himself.
I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Chris Arnzen here, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I strongly recommend a church I've been recommending as far back as the 1980s, Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbc-nj.org. That's gcbc-nj.org. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's Word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the Word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Too, and I am the Executive Director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers. educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this mind-blowing opportunity. They are giving us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener, as long as that listener mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they make their purchase. Whether you are purchasing jewelry already in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a custom-designed jewelry piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, like taking your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, or your seminary logo, and turning it into a piece of jewelry like a pendant or a necklace or a ring or something else, or anything else your imagination and creativity can conjure up in your brain, they will take what's in your brain and turn it into a mind-blowing piece of jewelry. I've seen firsthand the mastery that they have over customizing jewelry, so you are sure to be pleased with the outcome. So if you have any intention on buying jewelry for yourself or someone you love, and keep in mind, Valentine's Day is just around the corner, please go to royaldiadem.com soon, at least to get the ball rolling on purchasing your piece of jewelry, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this amazing offer where we get 100% of the profits. Go to royaldiadem.com, royaldiadem.com, and make sure you mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Claude Ramsey, pastor of Reformata Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee, and we are giving an overview of the book of Ezra. If you have a question, please submit it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Before you go into some more of the particulars of the book of Ezra, I think that a listener question that really is hinging on something that you said earlier would be an important question to ask pretty much at the earliest point possible in the conversation. We have Gustav in Duval, Washington, who says, can you please differentiate between preaching and teaching, and or between preaching and lecturing? And one thing that I'm gonna ask you too, in addition to Gustav's question, is wouldn't you say that preaching always involves teaching, but teaching does not always involve preaching?
I think that was perfectly phrased right there, and that's the truth. So to the question, which was a fantastic question, and again, to refer to what you said, Mr. Arnson, absolutely true there. So Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, preaching is logic on fire. It's one thing to simply communicate biblical information or information of any kind and just leave it at that, kind of a passionless communication of knowledge. That would be lecture, where there's no emotion. It's just kind of a rote reading of what you have before you, and then you sit down and you're done. But preaching is, and really it goes into this, really, so I had this set up to talk about in this next section. It's the difference between experiential theology and intellectual theology. So, Gustav, I would say you can have an intellectual knowledge of God, but you must also have an experiential knowledge of God. Just to know that you must be born again is one thing, but to be born again is another thing. And so, and when you're born again, and I'll use physical illustrations from the scripture. I mean, think about the man blind from birth, whom Jesus took and spit in the mud and wiped it on his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the scripture says he came again seeing. And there was a big deal made about that. The Pharisees wanted to say this and that, and there was a big hubbub to do with it. And what happened, though? That man who had been blind, who had no experience with sight, was now able to see, and it was simply because of Jesus Christ and for no other reason. So the preaching of the gospel should be, I'll say this, and again, there are different styles. There's nothing wrong with a quiet lecture style preacher. If he is preaching and proclaiming the scriptures verbatim, word for word, then as a Christian, we can't help but say amen and hallelujah to it. But when a man preaches the scriptures word for word, verbatim, truth for truth, idea for idea, and he does it with passion, it makes a connection. It makes a connection with the congregation. It makes a connection with the hearers. And it's almost like, and I know it sounds weird and it's maybe a lame excuse, but it's like a conduction of electricity in one sense, right? Where the congregation, the hearers of the preacher who is preaching with passion and zeal and fervor, really understands and knows that the man who's preaching to them has been born again and has experienced the power of God in their lives. And so they can kind of trust what they're hearing and kind of go with that. So the difference between a lecture and preaching is that the heat is turned up and the emotion is ramped up. And I know emotion doesn't make the sermon, but it certainly is helpful.
Yes. In fact, I am speaking with right now a man who certainly has a gift for passionate preaching of the gospel. You will never visit Reformata Baptist Church and hear a dry, lifeless, sterile, impotent sermon there. Pastor Claude combines the fire of his passion to see the lost come to Christ and also to see Christ's children edified with the solid teaching of the word. And both, I believe, are important. If a man truly believes in what he's saying, and he believes that these teachings from the scripture have eternal consequences, I don't know how he could yes. be, I don't know how he could be passionless.
Amen.
And I know that there are a minority of Reformed people, at least those that profess to be, that are actually intentionally not being emotional when they preach because they think it's a manipulation of the emotions. And there are people mm-hmm. who do that. There are people yep. in charismatic, Pentecostal, and other circles, maybe even fundamentalist Baptist circles, who do use emotion to manipulate people. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a herald of the gospel, if he really believes that if his message is rejected, people will spend an eternity in hell. There's got to be some kind of emotion there. And sometimes yeah. men of God who are soft-spoken are still emotional when they preach.
Yes.
And they have passion even though they're soft-spoken.
Yes. But, and so to kind of round off that answer for Gustav, I would say this, that to put it in a succinct statement, I would say the knowledge of God disconnected from experience does nothing for a person other than giving them enough knowledge to go to hell with a head full of information. But the knowledge of God connected to experience is life and it's liberty to the one whom the Lord calls to salvation.
Amen. And if you could move on to the next important element of the book of Ezra that we should be retaining in our minds and hearts.
So I would say the next important element that we need to retain is, to understand the importance of preaching and the role of preaching. So the role of the preacher, as William Perkins taught in his work, The Art of Prophesying and the Call to Ministry, the role of the preacher is to gather the elect together. So concerning the book of Ezra, when we just think of the sheer mass, the numbers that came in the first wave of the exile from Babylon back to Jerusalem to begin the rebuilding process, the scripture says there were 42,360 people in that first wave. 42,360 besides their male and female servants, who were 7,337. Now, without the heralding, the proclamation of the word to gather and to focus the saints, I can imagine that this must have been a lot like trying to herd cats. Have you ever heard that before?
No.
Yeah. So, you know, if you've got you've got several cats in a room, they're not going to be like cows where they're all going to go together and run together. They're going to run every which way. So you could imagine having 42,360 people on top of 7,000 with their servants trying to get them focused and centered on in one mind, in one accord, in unity. And so in Ezra, that's exactly what takes place with the preaching of the word of God by Haggai, by Zechariah, and by.
Are you still there, brother? You cut off.
That we see.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you can. For some reason, you just very momentarily, very quickly cut off. If you could clarify something, not that we want an elaborate answer, but you were. I believe you were quoting William Perkins, and you used the phrase prophesy. And this is not to be misunderstood in the Pentecostal or charismatic sense.
William Perkins.
Are you there, brother? You cut out again. I'm not sure why you're cutting out, bro. Are you there? Claude, are you there? Huh, this is something, there's something strange happening, folks. I apologize. I don't know why my guest, I cannot hear him at all. I don't know if he hears me. I think that we may have to have him re-log in to the Microsoft Teams link that we are using to conduct this interview. I apologize. I don't know if you can hear me, Pastor Claude, but I am going to go to an early commercial break. And during this break, we will try to reestablish a good connection with Pastor Claude Ramsey. This is the longer break in the middle of the show because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to localize geographically Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, where the radio station is located. They do that with their own public service announcements and other local things, while we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely and write down as much of the contact information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can, and also send in your questions to Claude Ramsey, to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. And we seem to have reestablished connection. I don't know what happened, Claude.
I'm not sure. I'm literally not sure.
Yeah. Well, the internet is a strange place. Why don't you, technically we have 4 minutes before we're supposed to be going to the midway break. So why don't you, go to complete your point that you were making?
Okay. Okay. So the significance of the book of Ezra early on, we had the number, the large number of the folks who came in the first wave of the exile from Babylon to back to Jerusalem, and the significance of the preaching of the word, that how God used Haggai and Zechariah's sermons to focus, to almost as if you could imagine, when a child may get frantic or out of control, or an adult gets out of frantic or out of control, there's sometimes a need to kind of hold them, get right in front of them, hold them by the face and turn their face to yours so that they hear exactly what you're saying and are able to focus on what's being spoken. That's basically what I see the Lord doing through the preaching of the prophets, through Haggai and Zechariah, with the people of God, keeping them focused on their task at hand, and that was rebuilding the temple.
Okay, you could move on to the next point because we do have time before we go to the midway break.
All right. Again, I apologize for that silence earlier. I'm not sure what happened there. But so I would say next, again, another one of the primary and significant things that we see is the sovereignty of God, how that God sovereignly used kings and kingdoms to accomplish his purpose and his will in history, particularly concerning the vast number of years that is spanned by the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra can be read in 30 minutes, but the time span that's covered in the book of Ezra is 90 to 120 years. So, I mean, what we're seeing when you read the book of Ezra in a sitting is just a microcosm of a big series of events that the Lord has orchestrated and worked all things according to the counsel of his own will. So the child of God can take great courage and take great confidence that even when things aren't working according to our time frame, on our time frames or on our schedules, that God is still in control of things and that God is still working all things for the good of those who love him and are the called according to his purpose.
Amen. All right. Well, we'll go to our midway break now, and I'm not going to say my whole spiel again. You already heard me. Already heard me warn you that it's going to be longer than the other break. So please be patient, and we'll be right back with more of Claude Ramsey on his overview of the Book of Ezra.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia. And I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, do not forget that solid-ground-books.com is experiencing a crisis in book sales. So I'm hoping that many of you in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listening audience will come to the rescue of solid-ground-books.com by purchasing books from them today. Whether you are a first-time purchaser of books, or even if you purchase books monthly, you're a regular customer, I'm asking you to please make today your largest purchase ever, if at all possible. And please don't forget to mention that you heard about solid-ground-books.com from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And don't forget that you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print lost treasures from the past, dating back as long ago as the 16th century Protestant Reformation. And they also bring into print new works by modern-day authors, such as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest, Claude Ramsey, we just have some important announcements to make. If you love this show and you do not want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you please to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way at your post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's a special event that you want to promote, whatever it is, if it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, folks, I want you all to always remember when you're sending in financial support to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, please never cut in to the finances that you have set aside to give to your own local church where you're a member on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a gift. Please don't do that. In other words, never give your own church where you're a member less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Don't do that. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more stable financially before you send us a financial gift. The Bible is very clear that we are primarily to use the money with which he has blessed us, which is, keep in mind, his money. We're primarily to use that to support our church and our family. And supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command of God, obviously. But if you do love this show, you don't want it to disappear, and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you want us to continue to exist. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally sound, theologically solid church like Reformata Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people in our audience all over the planet Earth find churches, sometimes within just a couple of minutes from where they live. That may be you, too, if you are without a biblically faithful church home. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. And put I Need a Church in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in your questions to Pastor Claude Ramsey on the Book of Ezra. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. If you could, Pastor Claude, continue on to the next vital aspect of the Book of Ezra that you want our listeners to remember today.
Absolutely. And again, I want to take a moment here, too, before I do that, Chris, just because you're always on, you're faithful, regular, every day. And I just want to take a minute to let your hearers know that we appreciate you and the work that you do. For it's tireless. I know you've got to get weary at times. So I just want to let you know that I love you. I appreciate you. Publicly on air. So I just wanted to say that.
I really appreciate all that, right, brother.
So, back to the Book of Ezra, really, again, overview as far as just looking at it, again, moving on. There was a period of about 18 years after the altar was raised up that there was kind of a stagnation in the work. Folks really got kind of sidetracked because of all the drama that was brought about. There were folks, Tatnai, a guy named Tatnai, a guy named Shetharboznai. They were sending letters to the king trying to stop the work. And as I mentioned before the break, the significance that we see the sovereignty of God at work, and what we see in Ezra too is the importance of historical documents. And because, you know, we've gone through a period of time, particularly just over the past several years, where everybody wants to try to erase history and just kind of make their own. But what we see in the Book of Ezra is that when Shetharboznai and Tatnai tried to appeal to Darius to get the work to cease on the temple, the first thing that Darius did was had a search of their archives made, and he went back to the historical documentation where King Cyrus, by the way, all the kings during the period of Ezra, none of them were godly, but the Lord used them for his glory and for his honor. Darius appealed to history to see what was going on rather than kind of just stepping out doing his own thing. And what he saw that providentially the record was there that God commanded Cyrus to let his to let the children of Israel go back, and he commanded them to build the temple of God. And so what happened with Tatnah and Shetarboznah, their plan kind of backfired on them, because King Darius basically told them, look, this has been historically set and fixed. And so this is something that's going to be accomplished. And not only is it going to be accomplished, but Darius reminded Tatnah and Shetarboznah that it was going to come out of their pocket, basically, that it was going to come out of their funds, that God, you know, was providing for for the church in the wilderness, just as he provides for the church today, that God provides for his own, that his faithfulness is incomparable. So, and next, I would say this, I would say that and something else that's very significant throughout the book of Ezra is how that we see God, through the preaching of the word, constantly restore and encourage the spirit of the saints. God used the preaching of the word, bringing his message to the people, focusing their hearts and their minds, and how God used that, and how the scripture puts it, how that the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, how that the Lord stirred up the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, and how the Lord stirred up the people of God. And again, it's so sad sometimes, Mr. Arnson, to consider how so many in the church world today seemingly think that they can do without the preaching of the word, when it's the God-ordained ordinary means of grace, one of the ordinary means of grace. You know, we have the preaching and the teaching and the reading of the word, the communion, and we have prayer, and we have the fellowship. We have those ordinary means of grace, but how so often so many just neglect that. And if they would just take advantage of it, I mean, my goodness gracious, because there are plenty of pastors across this land of ours who faithfully and regularly study and prepare to feed the flock, but the flock don't have an appetite for the word of God. It's sad.
Yes, it is sad. And I encounter folks very often, and have ever since I've been a Christian, who think so highly of themselves that they don't believe they have a need to be a member of a specific local church and to be under the oversight of its leaders. They will make excuses that aren't even true, like the Bible doesn't teach anything about church membership. That's a falsehood. How are we supposed to obey those who have watch over our souls unless we are a member of a church?
Yes.
As much as I love you, Pastor Claude, you don't have watch over my soul. My pastors do. And so, in other words, I can't just have favorite preachers that I love listening to on sermon audio and YouTube and so on, and just sit at home and not be connected to the church, not be a member of the church, not be an active participant in the church, and not be under the oversight of its elders. This is sin, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is. And what I think, I mean, it's akin to this. I mean, we think, and I'm not making a direct correlation, of course, to the prodigal son here. But what the prodigal son in the New Testament accounting, what we do see is that he came to the place where he realized that he had it better back home with his father in his father's house than he had it going out on his own and trying to do things on his own, because he found himself eating, the scripture says, the husks, which the swine did eat. So he found himself eating slop when he could have had a homemade meal every single night, every single day. And the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have faithful pastors and faithful under shepherds and elders overseeing the body, they are providing that for their congregations, and the congregation should make every effort to, in truth, take advantage of that in a good way and make the most of the the good preaching of the word that's done by so many faithful men of God across the land.
Okay, we have a question from Salem in Stewart, Illinois, or Illinois, depending upon where you live. Salem has a very good question. Early on, you were saying that William Perkins, when he was using this term prophesy, was not speaking in the same sense that Pentecostals and Charismatics do today. But was not Ezra, your main theme today, prophesying when he preached in the sense that he was receiving revelation? I would have to say yes, because his words are in the Bible, and that's a part of the canon that is God-breathed, right?
Yes, absolutely. And so this comes down to accurately defining. That's a great question, Salem. This comes down to accurately defining terms in our world. That when we set out to teach this class, by the way, on Thursday nights, you can go to Passing the Torch on Facebook and get in on this class. It's absolutely free. But the art of prophesying, it's returning to understanding what prophecy is, right? So prophecy itself relates specifically and points to Jesus Christ. So I this is, again, a great question. I'm so thankful that I'm so prepared to answer this, because Salem, prophecy can be defined like this. Let me give you the full definition of prophecy here. So prophecy is divine or a disc.
Uh-oh, we've lost Claude again. Are you there, Claude? I don't know what's that.
Declares the purpose of God. Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Okay, yeah, so prophecy is discourse that emanates from divine inspiration and declares the purposes of God, whether by reproving and admonishing the wicked or by comforting the afflicted or revealing things that are hidden. So the purpose of prophecy in the Old Testament was to point to Christ. This goes back to the very first question that you brought up, Mr. Arnson, was the significance of clinging to both the Old and the New Testaments, right? Because in the Old Testament, what we have is prophecy. Prophecy that points to Christ, points to the coming of Christ, and even points further to eschatological realities of the end time when Christ comes back and the new heavens and the new earth are brought in and those things. And so in the Old Testament, we have literally true prophecy, because it points to Christ. In the book of the Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, Revelation 19 and verse 10, the angel that's showing John this revelation, it's at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and he says, I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, you must not do that, for I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he said this, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when we talk about prophecy in the biblical sense, we're talking about...
And you're gone again, Claude.
It's about in the Old Testament, to the apostles in the New Testament, and he spoke lastly as we have in...
And you're gone again. Can you hear me, Claude? Ladies and...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, a part of the reason that we are frequently losing our guest, the connection, may have something to do with the snowy weather here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. I'm not certain of that, but I'm just letting our listeners know that could be the reason, because it is snowing outside right here. And I'm just as puzzled as many of you may be, but hopefully that will not be as frequent as it was, where we are losing connection. But if you could continue, Claude, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. So again, to in answering Salem's question, so if the scriptures tell us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus is the true account of Jesus, who he is, and that is the spirit of prophecy. That is what makes up prophecy. So as Christians, we should hold to a biblical definition of prophecy and not understand prophecy to be what it has been made to be in many denominations, as though it's some kind of a new word from God, because it's not a new word from God. It's the word of God reiterated and reinforced and spoken through the written word itself and affirmed by the Holy Spirit of God. So it's very, very important when we talk about that. And the reason that William Perkins uses this terminology is because it was written in the 1600s. And there was, it was just a very straightforward speaking, of and teaching of the Word of God without a need to nuance explanations, because they weren't necessarily encountering the many facets of false teaching that we incur today.
Amen. And we have a listener named Gwendolyn. And this is the first time I've ever heard of this city here in my new home state of Pennsylvania, Vanilla, Pennsylvania. And Gwendolyn says, when we are reading the scriptures and we come to a belief that we've never heard before, should that be something that we automatically reject as a false teaching?
That is another fantastic question. And I will.
And we've lost our guest again. Hopefully he will be popping back in any second. Hello, Pastor Claude.
Now, yes.
Okay, we lost you.
Yes,
again,
sir.
But you continue.
Okay. Okay. So to repeat there, so just because what you hear seems to be a new idea, you don't necessarily have to write it off immediately, but do immediately go to the Bible. Do immediately go to the text of Scripture.
Actually,
and test
Gwendolyn,
what you're...
Actually, Gwendolyn was saying that if you are reading the Bible and you come to believe something that you've never heard of anybody else teaching. So she's starting off with the Bible there.
Okay, I apologize. I misunderstood that.
That's all right, because they're both serious issues. You may be hearing from your pastor, who may be one of these guys that thinks he has some kind of insight to the scriptures that nobody else in the world has ever had, like Harold Camping, for instance. And that could even be more dangerous. But
so
in the reverse way, you may want to go to your pastor, since this person is saying that they're coming up with the idea from the Bible. You might want to go to the pastor and say, you know, I've thought of this because, in fact, just because this person's never heard about it before, doesn't mean that many people of good standing in the church for centuries haven't believed it. This person might not be an expert on church history or something.
Exactly. And that's what I would add to that would be, like you said, go to your pastor if you've come up with a thought or an idea from a reading of the text. Go to your pastor, go to your elders, and then if you've got access and you like to read, one of the best things that you can do is research church history. Google the idea. Just type your idea into the Google machine, as the old timers we say it. Type it into the Google machine and see what the Google machine tells you. Because what you'll find a lot of times is that just because you've not heard it, it doesn't make it. Just because it sounds new doesn't mean it is new, because
right.
You'll find that it'll either be proven to be true by church history or proven to be false by church history.
An example of that is I have heard the testimonies of many people who became believers in the doctrines of sovereign grace while they were doing private reading and study of the Bible, they didn't know that anybody believed their conclusions that they came to on predestination, unconditional election, and so on. And then they later had those things confirmed by good, solid pastors and by great men of history. So that does happen.
Absolutely. I mean, it is a reality. But never just take off running with an idea.
Right.
Always test it.
And I believe, Gwendolyn, that you are a first-time questioner, since that city definitely jumped out at me, Vanilla, Pennsylvania. And please give us your full mailing address, because you have won a free New American Standard Bible, as do all our first-time questioners. So if anybody else sent in a question today and you're the first time, you're a first-time questioner, please send me your full name and mailing address so that Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, can ship out to you a free New American Standard Bible. We're going to be going to our final break right now. And if anybody has a question, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous. If your question involves a personal and private matter, don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
J. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. And folks, I want to remind you, you've been hearing ads every single day for years now for the Historical Bible Society. Well, that fine organization was founded by its president, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, a dear friend of mine since the early 1990s. Well, if you are the victim of a personal injury or medical malpractice, no matter where in the United States you live, please call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit the website of Buttafuoco & Associates at 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, folks, I want to remind you, if you're a man in ministry leadership, you are invited to my next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon to be held on Thursday, June the 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County, Pennsylvania. And our guest speaker for the very first time ever is Dr. Joel Beakey, founder and president of Puritan Reform Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I hope that as many of you listening will attend this free luncheon. And not only is admission free, and not only is your lunch free, and not only will your time of feasting on the Word of God and feasting on delicious lunch and having a joyful time of laughter, fun, and fellowship with colleagues in ministry be free, everyone who attends also receives a very heavy sack of free, brand-new books, personally selected by me and donated by very generous Christian publishers throughout the United States and the United Kingdom. So please mark your calendars for Thursday, June 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., a Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. You can register for free by sending me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. This luncheon always is being conducted in loving memory and in honor and tribute to my precious late wife, Julie, who started these luncheons way back in the 1990s on Long Island before I relocated to Pennsylvania. So this is a precious gift that she has given me to give to you who are men in ministry leadership. So I hope to see as many of you there as possible. Well, I would like you to pick up where you left off, Pastor Claude, and let us know about another very significant aspect of the book of Ezra that will benefit the church today.
All right. So but the benefit of for the church today, I would take from it just to jump over to chapter 9. And this, I know this will be the last section there, but in chapter 9, I want to read a section of that. And so the scripture says in Ezra 9, verse 8, "And now for a little while, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a peg or a nail in his holy place, that our God may enlighten our eyes and give us a measure of revival in our bondage. For we were slaves, yet our God did not forsake us in our bondage, but he extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia to revive us, to repair the house of our God, to rebuild its ruins, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem." So historically, we find in closing here that, yes, God was faithful, that God made provision, and God provided for his church, for that was the Old Testament church, is the church in the wilderness. And so to that, how that can encourage us today is very much like this, that just as God cared for his church then, God cares for his church today. And God provides for his people, particularly the spiritual food and the spiritual drink that we need, that is given us in Jesus Christ, that we learn and know of him through the scriptures, and that our hearts and our minds, that we go through places and times in our lives where we are distraught, where we're downcast, where we're broken, but where when the word of God comes, the word of God is not only a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces, but the word of God is oil that mends the heart and the mind, that brings peace and comfort in the midst of turmoil and trouble and destruction. So my encouragement for the listeners today concerning this book of Isaiah ultimately is that it Ezra. Just sets forth God's, yes, Ezra, God's providence and God's faithfulness.
Amen. And we have a listener whose name I absolutely love, Judson in Lloyd Neck, New York. And I wonder if Judson was named after Adoniram Judson, the great 19th century Baptist preacher. You never know. Maybe you could let us know, Judson. But Judson says, can you recommend any commentaries on the book of Ezra?
Yes. Actually, one that I've really grown familiar with, particularly this past year as we prepare and preach through the book of Ezra, is the Reformed Expositor's Commentary, Reformed Expository Commentary. So particularly for Ezra, let me look here just to make sure that I'm telling you correctly. Let me look at my pages. Yes, so for Ezra, the Reformed Expository Commentary, Derek Brooks, this is kind of a running joke at the church. It has been since we've started, because when I make a quote from this commentary, I always want to call him Derek Brooks. I said that wrong. I always want to call him Derek Brooks, but it's Derek Thomas, the theologian Derek Thomas. So it's not Derek Brooks, the linebacker. That used to be a linebacker, but it's Derek Thomas, the theologian. But the Reformed Expository Commentary is a fantastic commentary. And, of course, I mean, there's one other that I have that has a few numerous, that's got a Calvin commentary in it. Calvin's commentary is very good. And another of the old, one of the old commentators, John Gill. John Gill is very good. So, yeah. But for the most practical and easy to read and really just chock full of information at the same time would be that Reformed Expository Commentary.
And you can actually get the Reformed Expository Commentaries from solid-ground-books.com. Solid-ground-books.com, and mention that you heard about them from Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And before I take any more listener questions, I would really like you to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today, that you want them to leave with after this program is over.
Number one primary thing is know if you have been born again. For if not, you must be born again. That's it. That's the bottom line. The scriptures teach us that we have, that our sins have separated us from God. Of course, we're born in sin. We can't outrun it. We can't avoid it. It's a reality in our lives. But the good news is that even in the midst of our sin, that Christ died for our sin. And the scripture says that he died for our sin, that he was buried on the, that he was buried, and on the third day that he arose from the dead. And then after that, he ascended to the Father, where he ever lives to make intercession for the saints of God. And there is a very real day that will come. We don't know when, but it will come when Christ will come back. The scripture says the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the air. So the main thing that you could take away from this interview is if that you have not heard Jesus Christ proclaimed, there would be a big problem.
Amen. Well, we do have time for some more questions, and one of them is a very important question. It's from an anonymous listener who asks, if the old covenant people of God could be saved without knowledge of Jesus Christ specifically, how can those who are alive today not be saved as well, even if they do not know of Jesus Christ, as long as they believe in the same God of the Old Testament as the patriarchs and the Hebrew people believed in?
That is a fantastic question and a large question, but I would answer it like this. I would say that the Old Testament saints were saved by looking forward to Christ, because it is Christ that was proclaimed in the Old Testament that was pointed to. So it was the promise of Christ that the Old Testament saints were saved looking forward to Christ, even though that the actual propitiation, the actual atonement for sin wasn't made until Christ came. But it was still that promise that they looked forward to in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's how they were saved. Just as today, folks, we look back to the cross and we're saved. But either way, if you're looking at it from the Old Testament or if you're looking at it from the New Testament, we're both looking at Christ. And so it is Christ where salvation is.
Amen. And we have Todd in Allentown, Pennsylvania, who says, what, in your opinion, is the most vital book of the Old Covenant that Christians should be thoroughly knowledgeable with?
I would say Isaiah would be one of the primary books. We have a lot of prophecy concerning Christ. So if you really wanted just to focus on one, I would say personally Isaiah, because there's so much there that points us to Christ.
I'm assuming Genesis would have to be one of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Again, I was just trying to be specific to the question there, right. But yes, I mean, it would be wrong to really say one above the other, but if we had to pick one, yeah.
Isn't it interesting, going back to Isaiah, that the Jewish people, the Orthodox Jews, not liberal Jews who don't believe in the Hebrew scriptures at all, but those that believe that these are inerrant, God-breathed words, Yahweh's words to them, that they get very frightened when it comes to Isaiah 53 because of its clear description of a prophecy of Jesus Christ and his death on behalf of his people. Isn't that amazing how even in the 21st century they avoid that at all costs?
Yes, it's a denial of truth. And yes. it's and it's willful rebellion against God.
Mm-hmm. And I know this is going to be a very controversial statement, but there are people who falsely believe and heretically believe that if you are Jewish, you do not need to believe in Jesus Christ as your only hope for salvation, your only Lord, God, Savior, and King, your only Messiah. And they seem to believe that it is some kind of an ethnic birthright of Jewish people to inherit heaven. And this is very dangerous because Judaism has long departed even from the Hebrew canon as far as its actual teachings. I mean, of course, Orthodox Jews may carry on many of those teachings, but there are crucial things that they reject, and many of the things they believe are modern invent. Well, not necessarily modern inventions, but non-canonical inventions of rabbis, like the Talmud.
Yes.
So we can.
I'd agree.
And it's not anti-Semitic to say that Jews need to embrace Christ to be saved.
No, it's biblical. It's biblical. I mean, you can't read the book of Galatians and not come away with that idea. And you're right. It is seemingly controversial. Nonetheless, it is the truth. And that of the fact that, as the Apostle Paul made clear in Romans and Galatians, that it's not just because you're of the bloodline of Abraham or born into an Israelite family that you're in the family of God, but it's has your heart been circumcised? And that heart circumcision is the new birth. And it doesn't matter what race, creed, color, religion, whatever. If you've not been born again, you are not saved, despite Jewish or not Jewish.
Right. And the patriarchs and the prophets of the old covenant did not even believe or teach that every Jewish person was saved and safe in the hands of God just because of their ethnicity.
That's exactly right. And Mr. Arnson, and that's why earlier when I was talking, when I made that specific reference, you know, that's the view of the church biblically is that, again, that God's Old Testament redeemed, God's Old Testament chosen people were the Old Testament church. And right. The New Testament church is not a separate entity. It's not two separate destination points for the history of God's people. It's one. The Old Testament saints were the Old Testament Israel, the Old Testament church. New Testament saints are New Testament saints and members of the church.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why I have, on a number of occasions, warned my listeners to stay away from John Hagee and Hagee Ministries. He teaches that Jews do not need to recognize Jesus Christ as their Messiah to be saved.
Yep.
And if you want to talk about anti-Semitism, that's anti-Semitism, because you're leading leading Jews to hell by making such a proclamation to them. And unfortunately, I know a number of Jewish people who take great comfort in John Hagee's teaching because it relieves them of any guilt they may have started to develop for rejecting Christ. I not only know somebody personally, but even one specific Fox News host who is Jewish loves to have John Hagee on because his conscience is salved by John Hagee's exalting the Jewish people to a level that God never intended them to be raised to. But I want to make sure,
amen.
I want to make sure our listeners once again have all the contact information they need to get a hold of you and to find out more about your church. Go to Facebook and type in the search engine Reformata Baptist Church. That's REFORMATA Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. And don't forget about the conference next month, where my guest today is just one of a number of speakers, including Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, the Open Air Theology Conference in Tullahoma, Tennessee in February. Find out more at openairtheology.com, openairtheology.com. I want to thank you, Claude, for being such a superb guest, as you always are. I'm looking forward to your return. I hope everybody listening has a safe and healthy and happy and joyful and Christ-honoring weekend and Lord's Day. And I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.